Our text this morning is from the book of Jeremiah. And historically, what is happening is that in Jeremiah, also in part of Isaiah, the Babylonian Empire is crowding over the Middle East and working its way through Israel. And Israel is on the verge of being surrounded. And the king is trying to make some kind of a decision about where to go. And presently, his mind is that he's going to kind of go with a military force. And what Jeremiah is concerned about is really what God would have them do, and that is to somehow depend a little bit more on God and allow their faith to vanquish whatever is going to happen. But as of old, Israel chooses wrongly, and because of its lack of faith, and this is the Old Testament message, that God continues to punish them and bring them to destruction. But we'll talk a little bit more about that after the reading. This from chapter 18 of Jeremiah. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord was this: "Come and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." And so I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, but he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. And then the word of the Lord came to me: "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intend to bring on it. And at another moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do for it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, I am a potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and your wrongdoings." The word of the Lord. Interestingly, one of the earliest artisans in all of history was a person who could make pots in clay containers. The artisan at the wheel was predated even our most civilized societies, because we find in all the ruins of many, many different cultures, thousands and thousands of years ago, shards of the pottery, of the places in which they themselves fashioned cookware for themselves and storage pots, which remind us that the brain was very much high-functioning through all those many, many centuries before we came along, and very ingenious in creating something very special. Now, in the time of Jeremiah, it's important to notice that the potter's wheel was nothing like the one we have today. You know, where a person sits down and there's a little wheel there and their feet move very quickly and they can spin it as fast or as slow as they choose. In those days, the potter used to have two stones, one stone laid upon another, with some kind of device that kept them moving together. And it would take his whole body to move the stones. It engaged the legs, the arms, and all the muscles of the body to ensure that there would be some kind of movement so that he could form whatever he was trying to form. And that's an important thing to keep in mind when we talk about Jeremiah, because his experience of the potter is very different from ours. And what he's talking about is a parallel ethic, if you will, about God being the potter, God being the one that forms all things. And remember, in Judaism, the story of creation begins with dirt. Except for the one where God creates out of nothing, the second version talks about God taking dirt and forming things in creation and forming a human being. And so this image is extremely powerful for Israel. Now, in his time, as I said before, they are facing extermination. One of the recurring themes throughout the prophets, because of the history that went before, of their infidelities and their being synchronized to other religions and people drawing other things into Judaism that were corrupting it, so to speak. The prophets had a very strong mission, and that was to bring Israel back on track. And bringing them back on track meant that they revert to the basic teachings. It's almost like today, this weekend, up in Hartford, there was a prayer service for the healing of the world with Franklin Graham. And his mission was that God is the only one that can fix the problems that are going on in the world. This is very much the same thing. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But certainly God may have something to do with the outcome of things, at least in Hebrew thinking. If things were going well, it was because God was pleased with you. If things were not going well, God was obviously upset with you for something. And in Jeremiah's own life, he came from a tribe or from a line of priests. He was a descendant of a bunch of priests who set up a temple up in Shiloh. And those priests were accused of corruption. And eventually, the temple that they built was torn down because of the offensive things that they were doing as part of their, quotes, ministry in God's name. And so Jeremiah is very much stronger in his approach to how he's going to teach people what God really wants. And so he's very definitely a purist here. And he's saying everything that's going to happen to you is because you are not faithful. You do not believe enough in God. You do not trust enough in God. And therefore, God is going to destroy you. And that's exactly what happened. What does that have to do with us? One of the first times I read this passage, I think, was when I was in high school seminary. And it wasn't a part of the liturgy at the time. It wasn't part of the everyday worship. But I was struck by the image of God forming things. And in seminary, you're told that you are being formed for ministry. You aren't just being taught, you're being formed for ministry. And the formation process, eventually, even in religious life, they talk about formation process, that you are formed by the things you do, the way you live, the things you're taught, but how you change the inside to depict on the outside what really God is saying and doing with you in your life. And that image has gone with me through my whole life. And as many ways as we can evaluate our lives or look at things that happened historically, we can tell the story of how we got here and all the things that happened along the way, etc. I continue to fall back on that level where I talk about formation. And it's my understanding after all these years that formation is something that goes on your whole life. We are never completely formed. In fact, in Israel, the word shachah was a word that said, described what happened on the wheel when somehow the clay got corrupted or fell into a place where it was irreparable, where somehow it had to be cast off. And Jeremiah uses that word and says, when you get to that point, God then makes a choice of whether you're going to be reformed into something new or you're going to be just thrown away, discarded. You hear that in Jesus' teaching as well. That's very Jewish. But in our lives, how many times have we looked at challenges in our lives and thought about, this is a place of being reformed. made over again, made into something new. Sometimes we talk about change as an agent that somehow makes us deal with realities that we haven't grappled with yet, or somehow open ourselves up to new possibilities, and both of those things demand change. But have we ever thought about it from the perspective of a Jeremiah, who in his writing said, God manipulates the fabric of the womb to make us who we are. In fact, he says, God so formed the fabric of myself that I was being formed into a prophet in my mother's womb. And that's a terrible thing for Jeremiah, because all the way through he hates what he has to do. He wants to run away from it. He says to God, don't tell me anything else. I'm not going to go out there and do it. They threw me down a well once. They're throwing me off the cliff. I'm not having a good time here. Don't tell me anything else. And yet there's something inside of him that won't let go, that he is called to be a prophet. Someone once asked me when I discovered I wanted to be a priest minister. There are lots of different answers you can give to that question. Most of them, don't make any difference. because it's not a time thing. It's somewhere inside of you when you know that that's the only place you need to be. If it's a calling, or is it that from the very beginning you were being prepared to do 50 or 60 years later what you end up doing? And I don't think of that as predestination as much as an insight into the wisdom of God in the creative process. Because I did not come to this on my own, but it was through years of exposure to people who shared with me their experience, who encouraged from their wisdom the next move, the next step, and who said, you can do this. There were many times throughout my life when I really wanted to dump the whole thing as a complete loss. And there are even those days sometimes now. But there's something that will not allow me to ever do that. And I think of all the relationships I've had, including my love for Louise and the kids, and how even that was part of my formation. How from the very beginning I was being prepared for that very intense union that not only changed me, but changed the world that I touch. And I'm hoping for you today that if you find yourself a part of your life that has been difficult to grab hold of, or something that doesn't make any sense, or something perhaps that you would like to discard and forget ever happened, or if you find yourself at a place where maybe there's something new coming and something different happening within you, see if you can go to that place where you have a confident view of yourself and recognize that who you are is who you were meant to become. That all that has happened to you has happened so you can be the person you are today. And God is never finished. I don't think God is finished even after we die. Being formed by life, we understand. Being formed by good and bad experiences, we understand. Being formed to be a bearer of the presence of God is so difficult to accept. And yet, from the very beginning of our formation until the very end. God is there doing exactly that. I pray we have the courage and the vision and that we find the support we need to wherever God is forming us to be, so that indeed each one of us will know a peace that the world cannot give us, that achievement cannot provide, that accomplishments and wealth and popularity and fame do not at all describe. A peace being who God called us to be. May God bless us with that peace. Amen.